Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Paul, for that kind introduction. And Mr. Chairman, delegates, friends, fellow Americans, thank you so very much for that welcome. You've given Nancy and me so many wonderful memories, so much of your warmth and affection. We cannot thank you enough for the honor of your friendship. Over the years, I've addressed this convention as a private citizen, as a governor, as a presidential candidate, as a president. And now, once again, tonight, as private citizen Ronald Reagan. Tonight is a very special night for me. Of course, at my age, every night's a special night. After all, I was born in 1911. Indeed, according to the experts, I have exceeded my life expectancy by quite a few years. Now, this is a source of great annoyance to some, especially those in the Democratic Party. But here's the remarkable thing about being born in 1911. In my life's journey over these past 8 decades, I have seen the human race through a period of unparalleled tumult and triumph. I have seen the birth of communism and the death of communism. I have witnessed the bloody futility of 2 world wars and Korea, Vietnam, and the Persian Gulf. I have seen Germany united, divided, and united again. I have seen television grow from a parlor novelty to become the most powerful vehicle of communication in history. As a boy, I saw streets filled with Model Ts. As a man, I have met men who walked on the moon. I have not only seen but lived the marvels of what historians have called the American century. Yet tonight is not a time to look backward. For while I take inspiration from the past, like most Americans, I live for the future. So this evening, for just a few minutes, I hope you will let me talk about a country that is forever young. There was a time when empires were defined by landmass, subjugated peoples, and military might. But the United States is unique because we are an empire of ideals. For 200 years, we have been set apart by our faith in the ideals of democracy, of free men and free markets, and of the extraordinary possibilities that lie within seemingly ordinary men and women. We believe that no power of government is as formidable a force for good as the creativity and entrepreneurial drive of the American people. Yeah. Those are the ideals that invented revolutionary technologies and a culture envied by people everywhere. This powerful sense of energy has made American synonymous for opportunity the world over. And after generations of struggle, America is the moral force that defeated communism. And all those who would put the human soul itself into bondage. Within a few short years, we Americans have experienced the most sweeping changes of this century, the fall of the Soviet Union and the rise of the global economy. No transition is without its problems, but as uncomfortable as it may feel at the moment, the changes of the 1990s will leave America more dynamic and less in danger than at any time in my life. Thank you. All right. A fellow named James Allen once wrote in his diary, "Many thinking people believe America has seen its best days." He wrote that July 26, 1775. There are still those who believe America is weakening, that our glory was the brief flash of time called the 20th century, that ours was a burst of greatness too bright and brilliant to sustain, that America's purpose is past. My friends, I utterly reject those views. That's not the America we know. We were meant to be masters of destiny, not victims of fate. Who among us would trade America's future for that of any other country in the world? And who could possibly have so little faith in our American people that they would trade our tomorrow for our yesterday? I'll give you a hint. They put on quite a production in New York a few weeks ago. You might even call it slick. A stone's throw from Broadway it was, and how appropriate. Over and over, they told us they are not the party they were. They kept telling us with straight face that they're for family values. They're for a strong America. They're for less intrusive government. And they call me an actor. To hear them talk, you'd never know that the nightmare of nuclear annihilation has been lifted from our sleep. You'd never know that our standard of living remains the highest in the world. You'd never know that our air is cleaner than it was 20 years ago. You'd never know that we remain the one nation the rest of the world looks to for leadership. It, you. All right. All right, thank you. It wasn't? All right. It always, or wasn't always, this way. We mustn't forget, even if they would like to, the very different America that existed just 12 years ago. An America with 21% interest rates and back-to-back years of double-digit inflation. An America where mortgage payments doubled, paychecks plunged, and motorists sat in gas lines. An America whose leaders told us it was our own fault, that ours was a future of scarcity and sacrifice, and that what we really needed was another good dose of government control and higher taxes. It wasn't so long ago that the world was a far more dangerous place as well. It was a world where aggressive Soviet communism was on the rise and America's strength was in decline. It was a world where our children came of age under the threat of nuclear holocaust. It was a world where our leaders told us that standing up to aggressors was dangerous, that America might and determination were somehow obstacles to peace. But we stood tall and proclaimed that communism was destined for the ash heap of history. We never heard so much ridicule from our liberal friends. The only thing that got them more upset was two simple words: evil empire. But we knew then what the liberal Democrat leaders just couldn't figure out. The sky would not fall if America restored her strength and resolve. The sky would not fall if an American president spoke the truth. The only thing that would fall was the Berlin Wall. I heard those speakers at that other convention saying, "We won the Cold War." And I couldn't help wondering, just who exactly do they mean by we? And all right, and to top it off, they even tried to portray themselves as sharing the same fundamental values of our party. But they truly don't understand the principles so eloquently stated by Abraham Lincoln. Quote, "You cannot strengthen the weak by weakening the strong. You cannot help the wage earner by pulling down the wage payer. You cannot help the poor by destroying the rich. You cannot help men permanently by doing for them what they could and should do for themselves." If we If we ever hear the Democrats quoting that passage by Lincoln and acting like they mean it, then, my friends, we will know that the opposition has really changed. Until then, when we see all that rhetorical smoke billowing out from the Democrats, well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd follow the example of their nominee. Don't inhale. Listen to me. This fellow they've nominated claims he's the new Thomas Jefferson. Well, let me tell you something. I knew Thomas Jefferson. He was a friend of mine. And Governor, you're no Thomas Jefferson. Let's not dismiss our current troubles. But where they see only problems, I see possibilities as vast and diverse as the American family itself. Even as we meet, the rest of the world is astounded by the pundits and finger pointers who are so down on us as a nation. Well, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. America's best days are yet to come. Our proudest moments are yet to be. Our most glorious achievements are just ahead. America remains what Emerson called her 150 years ago, the country of tomorrow. What a wonderful description, and how true. And yet tomorrow might never have happened had we lacked the courage in the 1980s to chart a course of strength and honor. Oh, yes. All right. Oh, all the more reason. All the more reason no one should underestimate the importance of this campaign and what the outcome will mean. The stakes are high. The presidency is serious business. We cannot afford to take a chance. We need a man of serious purpose, unmatched experience, knowledge, and ability. A man who understands government, who understands our country, and who understands the world. A man who has been at the table with Gorbachev and Yeltsin. A man whose performance as commander-in-chief of the bravest and most effective fighting force in history left the world in awe and the people of Kuwait free of foreign tyranny. Yes. 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 4 years, more years, a man who has devoted more than half his life to serving his country. A man of decency, integrity, and honor. And tonight, I come to tell you that I warmly, genuinely, wholeheartedly support the re-election of George Bush as President of the United States. We know President Bush. By his own admission, he is a quiet man, not a showman. He is a trustworthy and level-headed leader who is respected around the world. His is a steady hand on the tiller through the choppy waters of the 90s, which is exactly what we need. We need George Bush.